Romans chapter number 1, Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, and we're going to pick up reading in verse number 8 of chapter number 1. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. In 1903, there was a group of 17 men. These men got together and formed a small political organization. Just 14 years after they got together, this organization of 17 men, it grew to 40,000 members in just a short period of time. From 17 men in 14 years, it grew to 40,000 members. This organization became powerful enough to overthrow Russia. The hammer and the sickle of communism began to make its way across the world. And before the Iron Curtain fell, its communism dominated up to two-thirds of the globe. You know, despite our aversion, I'm not suggesting that communism is something that we want to make a model of. I'm just intrigued that just 17 men that have gotten together could make such a world impact with their methodology and their thought of this political organization. It's amazing how just 17 men could really change the world. I'm reminded as I read about that story and doing some study and some research this past week, I'm reminded as I think about those 17 men, I'm reminded of the apostles. The apostles that took the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Bible says they turned their world upside down because of what they were teaching and preaching. If 12 apostles could do that in their time, if 17 men could gather together and form this political organization and change the course of their world, Christian, I would believe this, that if Christians truly had a heart, truly were on a mission, truly had a desire to change their world, they could do it with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is truth. The gospel is what's needed to change lives. The gospel is going to be the answer for all the questions man has. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer for every single problem in this world. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a church that's sold out for the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't you? But what does sold out mean? Be sold out for the gospel. Does that mean that we just simply live the principles of the Word of God and let everyone else do their thing as long as we're living the gospel? Does it mean that we take the truth of the gospel and we not only live it, but we also share it? I believe that we can find the answer to some of these questions here. Paul is writing to this church here in Rome, and he is saying to them that he longed to come to them. The Bible doesn't show us in Acts in any place where he had already been here. Matter of fact, we know by reading the life of Paul, he had not come to this place. But there are some things that he has said here. I want you to see in verse number 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I want us to see, first of all, here, this is a church. This church in Rome here, it's a church on a mission, and a church on a mission has faith. Whatever was happening here at this church, Paul says that I thank God for you, and I thank God for the fact that your faith, what you're doing, the faith that you have, it's known throughout the whole world. You know, there are a lot of churches that are known throughout the world. Paul had not been here, but he's looking at the people and he's thanking God for who they are and their faith. You know, and churches are famous for many reasons. there are some churches that are famous, their preacher is spoken of around the world. And that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul didn't say that you're known throughout all the world because of who pastors this church. There's many churches that are known around the world, not just because of who their pastor is, but maybe because of the dynamic music program or the cutting edge programs or the big buildings that they have. There's churches that people visit just to go see the buildings. And they're known throughout the world because of what they are, what they possess there on that property. Paul didn't say that you're known throughout the world because of what you've built. Paul didn't say you're known throughout the world because of who your pastor is. Paul didn't say you're known throughout the world here to Rome because of the programs that you have. What Paul says is this, that I want to thank God for you and thank God for your faith. The faith that this church has is known throughout the world. Now think about that. Think about the fact that their faith, their faith in trusting God to meet their needs. Their faith in trusting God as they spread the gospel. Their faith is what's known throughout the world. A church on a mission is a church that's built upon faith. Paul says, I thank God for your faith. There's a report card, I believe, that maybe not necessarily this card we're going to give the Lord, but I believe that the Lord is keeping a report card. How are we doing in this level of faith? I like when it's report card time. Down in Georgia, when you got your report card, you could bring it to Krispy Kreme. Do they have Krispy Kremes up here? They used to. They have them down there in Georgia too. We loved Krispy Kreme, especially when you have a straight A student. Because you'd get a donut for every A you got on your report card. So our kids were so excited that they would get an A and we'd take them to Krispy Kreme and you'd get a pick a donut and we had some that would get maybe a dozen or so. We got some kids that had to share the dozen or so from their brother and sister. But you could bring them in and you just take your report card, and the better your report card was, the more donuts you'd get. Now, it reminds me of the little story. The little boy brought home his report card. His mother was very disappointed with his low grades, and she let him know about it. And when she was done letting this little boy know about this, the boy said, but there's a good side to this, Mom. And she said, what's a good side of such a bad report card? He said, at least you know I'm not cheating in school. But report cards give a progress of what we're doing and who we are. A report card tells a parent how that child's doing in school. A report card tells that child how they're doing. And I wonder this morning, what is our report card on faith? How are we doing in faith? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. How are you doing in walking by faith? How is your faith? This church here, it's known. It's known for its faith. Rome, it was a sinful society. You know, sometimes I think we look at the world we're living in, we say it's hard. It's hard to live as a Christian in the world we're living in. And that might be true, but I want to submit to you today that Rome wasn't the best place to grow a church. Rome was a wicked society. Rome was a dark place. It was desperately dark. The Roman Empire was not one that was promoting Christianity. The Roman Empire at this time was not one that made it easy for Christians. I want to tell you that Paul is there in Rome because of his faith, because of his walk with the Lord, because he's preaching the gospel. And church, I don't want us to ever get to the place where we think that at one time in history it was easy. It was easy to walk by faith. It was easy to be a Christian. The reality is this: it's not probably any harder today, even though the world is getting wicked, the world is getting worse. But I don't think it was any harder now. It takes faith to be the type of Christian that God desires to be. Whether it was then or now, it takes faith. It takes faith. And what are we doing by faith? By faith, we take the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's many that don't share the gospel because they believe that no one wants to hear. There's many that aren't giving because they feel there's something maybe more important or they can't afford to give. There's many that aren't serving. There's many that aren't involved in the work of the Lord, and they're making excuses why they're not involved, or why they can't give, or why they can't be a part, or why they can't share the gospel. I want to submit to you this morning that Paul is talking to a church here. Paul is addressing a church, and he says to them that your faith is something the whole world knows about. What do you want to be known for in this world? I want to be known for being a good husband. I would think any husband in here would want to be known for that. But if that's all I'm known for, I believe there's more. We spent some time with some of our kids yesterday. Our oldest were at the youth activity, and so we had our younger kids. We explored some of Ohio yesterday and had a good time with our kids, and I enjoy being with my children. I want to be a good father, and I want to be known as a good father, but I think there's more to it than just that. I study and prepare and pray and try to be the pastor God wants me to be, but I think there's more to life than just that. And I'm sure in this room that everyone here in this room has some things that we could compliment you on, and some things that you do well, and some things that are probably wonderful things to be and to be known as. But I would suggest to you this, that being a Christian that walks by faith, that lives a life by faith, that lives a life pleasing the Lord, a Christian that's known for their faith in God has got to be probably the best thing that someone could say about you. Man that walks by faith. A church that's on a mission that has faith. You know, I noticed as we were driving yesterday, and we drove up to Sauter's Village, and we drove just kind of all around and took the kids to get some ice cream in Grand Rapids. So we like made this circle of the area here. You know what I noticed just about every several miles? A church. Saw some small churches, saw some big churches building-wise. But I noticed that every community we went in, and we even in where it wasn't necessarily a community, it was just looks like farmlands, out in the middle of nowhere, there was a church. There's churches everywhere. Or there's church buildings everywhere. Churches everywhere in this area of the country. There's buildings and there's places that people gather. But do each of these churches have a purpose, and do they have a mission? When people drive by this church, do they say what a beautiful building that is, or do they say, I know the testimony of that church? That church is a church that has faith in God. That church is a group of people that are doing the impossible because they are trusting God. That church is a church that proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I spoke to a man this past week. I was witnessing to him and found out that he attended here for a period of time. And he was saying to me that one of the things that impressed him is his very first visit to the church here several years ago. On his way out, somebody stopped him and said, hey, I'm so-and-so and glad to meet you today. Before you leave, could I just ask you a question? Are you saved? He said to me, that made an impact in my life. He said, it was the first church that I was ever at that somebody on the way out asked me, did I know Jesus Christ as my Savior? Am I saved? He said, I've never forgotten that about Monclova Road Baptist Church. I said, well, if it's such a good church, why don't you come back? And he didn't tell me he was going to, but I was glad to know this, that the testimony that he had, what he was sharing, what he was saying about Monclova Road Baptist Church is this, that when I was there, they cared about me. Matter of fact, he said these words, he said, it showed me they cared more about me as who I am than me just being a number. I thought, what a wonderful example. It reminded me when we first got married, there was a little fellow in our church. He was a usher in the back, and he did that. Pop Rotilli was his name. And if you came into the church, you would not leave unless he asked you, are you saved? I mean, he just was on a mission. He wanted to be sure that if God put him in front of somebody, he was going to ask that person where they were going to spend eternity. This church here that Paul is speaking of, this church here in Rome, they're on a mission and they're known for their faith. I want us to see in verse number 9, if you would follow me there, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. He says this in verse 11, for I long to see you, that I might impart unto you some spiritual gifts to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. You know, this church in Rome, it's on a mission. It had faith. This church also it's focused. A church on a mission has faith, and a church on a mission is focused as well. Focused. It's got a purpose. You know, you'll do what you love, and you'll spend time investing in what you love. You'll do what you love, and you'll spend time investing in what you love. I'm glad the last couple years Jacob's gotten old enough that he's able to watch our girls, and I love going out as a family, but I'll tell you, I love even more going out as a family. I love going out with just me and my wife. I look for ways just to take her out. When I find out Jacob's going to play sports or, you know, run track this semester here, I'm excited that he's running and getting involved in sports, but I think to myself, boy, that's just extra time he's away. I can't spend time with my wife. I got to bribe him. I say, Jacob, every so often skip practice so I can take your mom out. But the things you love, you'll spend time with. The things that you love, you'll do. The things that you love, you'll invest in. The things that you love, you'll spend time with. And there's a church here that I find in the book of Romans here. There's a church. It's focused. It's a focused church. They're focused in their service. Remember, Paul's in the process of introducing himself. Paul's never been to this church. And Paul's introducing himself to this church in Rome. And he's never been there before. He's never been there. He's looking forward to meeting them. Later on in the book, you'll find where Paul will teach them some great truths about the gospel. But the reality is Paul doesn't even know them yet. Paul's longing to see them. Paul's excited. He says, before I teach you something, I want to open my heart up to you. Paul wants to serve them. Paul says, I can't wait to get there to be in service to you. I believe a church that's focused, a church that's on a mission is one that has faith. A church that's on a mission like the church here in Rome, it's focused in serving. You know, the reality, the things that excite people when they come to church ought to be the fact that they get to serve somebody. Paul said, I've got some spiritual gifts that I want to use to the end that ye may be established. You know, Paul here is saying, I want to serve you. I know you're going to serve me, and I want to serve you. Church ought to be a place where people come and they get served. There are so many opportunities to serve somebody when they come together. There's opportunities to teach. There's opportunities to get involved in guest services. There's opportunities to sing. But you know what? There's always opportunities to just come next to a fellow brother and encourage them and to love them and to pray with them. Church ought to be a place where when we come, we don't come just to see what we're going to get. We ought to come to see what we can give. This church is focused. This church is a focused church. They're focused on giving the gospel. You know what's encouraging about the book of Romans here? It's what the book we use, we call it the Romans Road, where we can share the gospel. We can tell someone how to be saved, how they can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. In many verses in the book of Romans, we use to show somebody how to be saved. And we find in this church here that it's focused. It's focused in its service. It's also focused in prayer. A church on a mission is focused in prayer. Paul said this, that Paul said he prayed without ceasing for the believers in Rome. Church, how was your prayer life? I know if there's an area in my life that I need to do more of, it's prayer. The Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Every decision we make in life ought to be bathed in prayer. Every step in life we make, it ought to be bathed in prayer. We ought to be praying consistently about things in our life, praying for each other. You know, this church, it was a church on a mission. Paul here is saying to this church, I'm praying for you. Church member, we ought to be praying one for another. We give a prayer list out on Wednesday night, and in that prayer list, there's people in our church that have needs. People have had surgery this past week. People have lost loved ones over the last couple of weeks. People have needs at work. People have challenges in their homes. People are sick. There's a lot of areas in our life that we ought to pray. You know, we have these lists of needs. We ought to pray that God would just keep each other safe. Even if there's not a problem, even if there's not a sickness, even if there's not a problem in the home, we ought to be praying and lifting up each other. Jesus said to Peter that I've prayed for you because Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, church, if we didn't just pray for those that were sick, but we also prayed for those that were healthy? We didn't just pray for those that were going through trials in our life, but we prayed for those that weren't going through trial. We prayed that God would encourage them and uplift them and keep them from going through trials. Here we find this church here in Rome. It's on a mission. It's on a mission in service. It's on a mission in prayer. It's on a mission in fellowship. Paul had a sincere concern for his brothers and his sisters in this Roman church. He longed to be with them. Matter of fact, he said this, by any means. He said, God, do whatever it takes to get me here. And God did whatever it took. This is probably not the way that Paul wanted to get to Rome, but this is the way that God used for Paul to get to Rome. Paul was arrested for the preaching of the gospel, and now he's on his way to Rome in bonds. But this is what he said, Lord, by any means, get me to Rome. And by any means, God's getting him there. And he couldn't wait to get there because he knew that the fellowship was important. He had an earnest desire. In verse number 10, he said, make a request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Do you know a church on a mission is a church that desires fellowship? You know, church, last Sunday, and there was a lot of people here that I didn't know. A lot of people I was introduced to that had been here over the years. You know what the thing I think I was encouraged about? I was encouraged by the music. I was encouraged by the message. I was encouraged by the fellowship. It was exciting to see people fellowshipping. You know, fellowship's important. God doesn't desire for us that once we're saved just to become a hermit and live life all by ourselves. We need fellowship with the believer. We need to be encouraged with other believers, especially as the day of the Lord approaches and this world gets worse and worse. We need to be encouraged by the fellowship of each other. Here, this church is on a mission. It's on a mission and it's fellowship. And lastly, I want you to see in verse number 13, Paul writes this, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the Gentiles. You know, this church is a church on a mission, and it's fruitful. This church is fruitful. A couple years ago, last summer or so, Jacob began to desire to grow a garden, so he started this garden in our backyard. It was exciting. He took these little seeds, he puts little seeds in these little cups, and in these little cups, he watered them and put them by the sun, not long after that, we saw little sprouts come up. Once they got a little bit higher, we put them into the ground. And as we put them in the ground, they started having little buds on them. You know, it was exciting as we watched him grow this garden. He would come home from school. He'd go outside. He'd water this garden. He'd weed it. He'd do all kinds of things. Whatever you do to a garden, he was doing. And all of a sudden, he came and he says, I start to see fruit. He was so excited that all of his effort, everything he was doing, it was paying off. I'll never forget, we even took a picture of it. The first time he brought a basket full of fruit and vegetables out of that garden. And then it got to where it was every day he's bringing these in. We couldn't keep up. He figured he'd just start with like 20-some tomato plants, not knowing how many tomatoes would come on a plant. They were just 20 little seeds. I mean, that's all it was. He didn't realize that 20 little seeds turn into 20 big plants, and 20 big plants turn into a lot of tomatoes. So we were taking we were taking it to church and we were feeding everyone tomatoes and every other thing he was growing. It was exciting. You know why it was exciting? Because there was fruit that was coming. You know, this church here in Rome, there was fruit. It was a church on a mission. A church on a mission is fruitful. Fruit can mean a new convert. Fruit could mean that the fact that you're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody in them trusting Christ as their Savior. Just a couple weeks or so ago, I was with Brother Danforth and we were at a restaurant and the waitress, he says, if I told you how you could know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you want to know? And she stood there and listened the entire time as he's telling her how to be saved. He gets done and she says, I'd like to do that. He walked her through how to be saved. And she, right there, standing at her table, trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. It was exciting. I got a text from Pastor Oscar yesterday. He said, Pastor, I just wanted to let you know I was able to lead someone to the Lord this weekend. And I thought, so exciting. What a wonderful thing it is when you can lead someone to the Christ, to show someone how to be saved. Someone's lost and someone doesn't know Christ and you open the Bible and show them in the Bible how they can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. My friend, there's nothing more exciting than showing someone how to trust Jesus and them trusting Jesus as their Savior. Never forget that time I led someone to the Lord sitting there in Philadelphia on our steps, the stoops there in front of our house. I opened as a little boy, opened the little New Testament and showed them how to be saved. And that little boy trusted Christ as his Savior. I couldn't believe it. Put that bug inside of me. I couldn't wait to share the gospel again to somebody else. And I hope it never gets old. I hope I never get to the place where sharing the gospel is old. I hope I never get to the place where it's boring. I hope I never get to the place where there's something more important to do with my time. I'm simply saying to you this, a church on a mission is bearing fruit. A Christian ought to be bearing fruit. I don't know how someone that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, I don't know how someone that was a sinner, I don't know how someone that's a sinner saved by grace that knew that they were going to hell one day but trusted Christ and now they're gonna go to heaven because of their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I don't know how you could hold that inside. I don't know how you can't share the gospel with someone. My wife and I were out the other night and the lady that was waiting on us, we began to talk about Jesus and she began to tell us that she was just recently saved. She was in her 20s and she just was recently saved and just for a short period of time now had started going to church and we talked to her about salvation and talked to her about her church and we're excited that somebody cared enough about her even though she didn't live a life pleasing to the Lord, even though that she wasn't saved at a young age, that somebody cared enough in her 20s to say to her, listen, I've got the truth. The truth is this, that Jesus Christ loves you. The truth is this, that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. The truth is this, that by faith, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved. You know, sometimes we look at people and we think to ourselves, they can't be saved. They don't want to be saved. It's not for us to decide who can and can't be, who doesn't want to and who wants to be saved. It's simply for us to bear fruit. It's for us to share the gospel. It's for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God then can work. But it's for us to do our part in sharing the gospel. See, this church is a fruitful church. You see, understand fellowship's important. Understand this. I believe that fellowship is extremely important. It's a wonderful thing. Our church family comes together in May. The ladies will all come together and it's designed for fellowship. It's designed for you to come together and enjoy the company of one another. It's designed for you to bring someone to church and them enjoy the fellowship of our church. It's designed for that. But let's not ever get to the place where fellowship is more important than fruit. Let's never get to the place where what our needs are more important than the needs of this world. Let's never get to a place, church, where we stop seeing fruit. I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be. A church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way. A church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacons always deacon, none is proud and all are meek. Where gossip never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect churches there may be, but none of them are known to me. but still we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. And church, I would say this, our church ought to be a church on a mission. Our church ought to be a mission of faith. Our church ought to be a mission that's focused in service, focused in prayer, focused in fellowship. And our church, like this church we see here in first chapter of Romans, ought to be a church on a mission to be fruitful in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ.